Today's scripture reading is in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled by his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is now in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Welcome to our special service today, which comprises of baptism as well as a communion service. You know, my heart was truly moved this week. It was truly moved. It was moved in thanksgiving for you, in thanking the Lord for you. Do you remember the lady by the name of Debbie that I mentioned to you last week at the end of service? She lives just down the street from our church. She had quite a bad fall just outside the stairs of her apartment at the beginning of last year, or this year, I should say. And she hasn't been able to get around much whatsoever. She's been feeling lonely, sad, and a bit discouraged. And she wishes that she could be part of a church family again. Well, ever since I shared that with you last Sunday, within a couple of days' time, I received a few emails from some of you already asking if you can go and visit her. When I received these responses from you, my heart was truly warmed. It was truly warmed. Knowing that God has given us a very caring, a very compassionate congregation. Thank you, Fraserlands Church. Way to go. Thank you for responding to the Lord in this way. As well, during our weekly staff meeting this past Wednesday, we were given an update from Nicholas as to what our faith pledge was. Remember that after the first couple of weeks, we were at about $307,000. And then after that, at $411,000. The week after that, at $580,000. And then last week, we announced in the bulletin that was at $763,000. Well, when Nicholas told us after this past Sunday, after the sixth week, that we received a total pledge of $1,580,000, I was in awe of God. I was in awe of God. I was so overwhelmed by God's faithfulness amongst us. I wanted to cry. I literally wanted to cry. I looked over at Pastor Paul, who was sitting directly across from me, and he had just heard the news for the first time. And he was so moved. He was so taken by it. He was such in awe and disbelief. He did one of these. He was crying inside. Believe me, he was crying inside. We were all so moved by the Lord, by his faithfulness. Only God can move the hearts of people. Only God can move our hearts in such ways. Only he can do the impossible. are giving us a pledge of $1.5 million in just 6 weeks. Thank you, Fraser Lance. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your response to the Lord in faith. And so even though the deadline for the faith pledge was last week, I know some of you may have been away out of town or whatever, and you may have not had a chance to return it. Well, for the next couple of weeks, you can still do so at the secure box at the info counter. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is more than just a building project. It is more than just a building project. It is more than just having more classrooms, more offices, more than just having a kitchen, which we have not had for 25 years. It's more than having a gymnasium and a multi-purpose space. It is so much more than that. It's so much more. It is a journey of faith that we're on. And the Lord wants each and every one of us to be on this journey. I know there are 204 pledges that were filled out and handed back, and that's about half of our membership, adult membership. But the Lord wants each and every one of us to be on this faith journey with Him. To see that when we put Him first in our lives, when we respond to Him in faith, He will provide. He will be faithful. And He will bless us more than we can ever dream, more than we can ever imagine. This is what those of us who are here for phase one and two experienced. When the sanctuary was built, when the chapel and the downstairs parking and the offices and the classrooms were built, this is what we learned from our Lord, that He is faithful. And we're learning this all over again, once again, with all of you this time. Responding to the Lord in faith. Responding to the Lord in faith. Why don't we just take a moment, just give thanks to the Lord right now. Let's pray, shall we? Dear God, we come before You, and our hearts are crying inside. It really is. Lord God, only You can move the hearts of men and women to freely open up our finances, our resources to You. Lord God, only You can take the two coins that we deposit in. Only You can take the five loaves and two fish and multiply it, God, for Your use, for Your kingdom. And we continue to pray that You will use the resources that have been given freely and generously by those in this congregation to bless Your name and to bless this community. Lord God, after this is all over, may we say to ourselves that it was the Lord who did this and no one else. It is the Lord's glory that we want to see. And it is the neighborhood, the community, oh Lord God, that we want to come to know You firsthand. God, allow our church to truly be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. For this we give thanks. We're grateful, God, for Your good work and our response to You, our faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The passage that was read to us earlier is another very loving, another very moving story of Mary's response to God, of Mary's response to God in faith. You see, at a relatively young age, age of 14 to 16 years old, while she was engaged to be married to Joseph, Mary was told by the angel Gabriel that she will be with child and that she'll give birth to a son. Now, back then in her culture, this was not a good thing. This was not a good thing. To be pregnant, yes. But to be engaged and not yet married and to be pregnant, no. This is something that her culture, her society despised. She could have been put to death for being in such a position. You know, I can't even imagine what was going through her mind, what was going through her thoughts, what was her feelings and her emotions Can you? She must have thought to herself, God, I've been faithful. I've been faithful and loyal to you all my life. I've been obedient to what your word says. I've lived my whole life honoring you, Lord. Why are you allowing me to go through this? I'll be the object of much shame, of much ridicule, of much doubt. What is it that you're trying to do in my life? Now, some of us may be facing similar situations in life. You're going through an extremely challenging time, a confusing time in your life, and you don't know why God has allowed it. You know, maybe you just lost a job. You got laid off. Maybe you have a health issue right now, an unexpected, something that just came up, just recently detected, and you're wondering about your future. You're uncertain about your future. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe your marriage is not going as well as you'd like. You're having difficulty with your spouse, your children, your parents. For others of you, it may be that your family or your parents do not approve of you becoming a Christian. Your friends, your colleagues, your coworkers, they look down on you. They look down on those who put their faith and trust in God, because to them, it's a sign of weakness, of you not being able to stand on your own strength. And so you struggle. You struggle with whether to do what is asked of you from God. Will you obey the Lord? Or will you care more about what others think of you, what others feel about you? Let's take a look here at Mary's response to God. Mary's response here is amazing. She could have said no. She could have said, wait a minute, or delayed her response. She could have argued the appropriateness of what was asked of her and not accept God's will for her life. But instead, Mary yields her life to God. She yields her life to God. She dedicates it. She devotes herself to the Lord. She said yes to God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me. May your word to me be fulfilled. You know, in essence, Mary was saying yes to what the Lord wanted for her, for his sovereign will to be done in her life. Despite what others may think or feel of her, despite what she herself may think of the situation that she finds herself in. You see, at some point in Mary's life, as she heard the ancient text being read in the synagogue, as she responded to and obeyed God's word in her own life, as her desire to know and understand the Lord increased, at some point in her life, it went from being out there, her understanding of God, it went from being out there to in here, to semi-knowledge of who he is. And then it went all the way down into her heart when she believed the Lord for herself. And with the words, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. With those words, Mary opened up her life to God for the Lord to work and to do his work through her. She didn't have all the answers. Her life was not perfect. Her situation was not ideal. Things were not going her way. But she lived in an attitude of listening. She lived in an attitude of awareness, of obedience to God. Mary considered. She considered the impossible, and she learned that with God, all things are possible. Mary experienced this profoundly as the Lord was birthed in her. The Lord was birthed in her physically. But we can also experience his birth spiritually in our lives as we devote our lives to God, as Mary herself did. You see, the first Christmas, the first Advent is where hope began. May we each choose to live in that gospel hope. The hope that began when a young girl responded to God in faith. May we each be able to say with heartfelt commitment and devotion these same words, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. In the Bible, it clearly says that those who put their trust in him, in God that is, will not be, will never be put to shame. This is the hope that Mary had. This is the hope that I pray that we can all have in our lives. My encouragement to you, brothers and sisters, is that you would have the same heart attitude as Mary. That you would die to yourself as Mary has died to herself, and instead be devoted to Christ. Mary died to her own control of her life. She died to her own desire for her future. Instead, her devotion to Christ sets her up as an example, a follower, a disciple of Christ, in order to do, to say, to act, and to be who Christ wants her to be. In essence, that's what baptism today resembles. The baptism that we'll do in just a minute, this is what it resembles. This is what it symbolizes. Your death to self and your devotion to Christ. Because when you know, when you've experienced the deep love of Christ for yourself in a personal way, you'll naturally devote yourself to the Lord. So what is to be our response? What is to be our response to the Lord? I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Are we able to say that to God today? Are you, those of you getting baptized here today, are you able to say to the Lord this morning these words? I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As we celebrate, as we remember the physical birth of Jesus during this Advent season, let us also remember that the spiritual birth of Jesus in our hearts happens even today. It happens even today. And it has happened in the hearts and lives of those who are getting baptized here this morning. You see, baptism is a public act. It's a public act. It's a personal profession in which the person being baptized affirms their faith in Christ as their Savior, but also their desire to follow him as the Lord of their lives. They, like Mary, have answered yes to the Lord. They've answered yes. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Now, baptism is the starting point of our Christian lives. We do not get baptized when we feel like we've arrived or that we're at the pinnacle of our faith. No. It's the beginning of our walk with God. And those of you who have already received Christ into your life, please consider getting baptized as soon as possible afterwards. We shouldn't be waiting 5 years, 10 years, 15 years later. It's something we do soon after we receive Christ into our lives in order to identify ourselves with him in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. That is our response. Is to die with Christ. It is to be buried with Christ. It is to be raised with Christ. And in just a minute or so, as the people come down the stairs, and after they give their testimony, and as they're being baptized, they're going to be put into the water. And as they're being put into the water, that is what it means for us to die with Christ, to die to ourselves. And then when they're buried with Christ, when they're put underwater, as Christ was buried for 3 days, we'll put them underwater for 3 days. Can you guys hold your breath that long? Okay, 3 seconds, okay? 3 seconds. To be buried with Christ. And then when we raise you out of the water, you are raised to new life in Christ. You have resurrection life, brothers and sisters in Christ. I just want to end with these words from Paul. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. I invite the pastors to now come into the tank. And as they come into the tank, I'll ask the people getting baptized to get ready as well.